FMR 101.3 FM.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trojan welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. And my guest, I must tell you, is a man who is something of an institution in Afrikaans music. Jannie du Toit is a singer, songwriter, who's had a long and distinguished career in the world of music, all aspects of music. He also enjoyed a 25-year collaboration with the accompanist Christa Steyn. He's won numerous awards, and he remains hugely involved in shows and composing with a long list of productions on the go at this very moment, including shortly here in Cape Town. So, Jannie, welcome to Fine Music Radio.
Thank you so much. An honor and privilege.
I'm so glad you're in Cape Town, because you're based in Johannesburg, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm based in Johannesburg, yes.
And you were born up there.
Born in the north, yes, but okay. Some 100 kilometers in the direction of Durban.
Okay.
I was born.
Yeah. All right. But you still live in Johannesburg.
Now live in Johannesburg, have been living there for quite a while, yes.
But now, presumably, you tour quite a lot, because I've got this list here of shows that you're currently involved with in 2024.
Yes.
And there's six or seven of them, all with Afrikaans names, obviously. And so, clearly, you are still very busy.
As a freelance artist,
yes,
very busy looking for work, indeed, Rodney. Yes,
surely
but,
that's
successfully
not true.
So as well.
Yes,
and for that reason, traveling around a lot, making music.
Just give me an idea of what some of your shows are. Dup is niet doet nie. Bonjour, Monsieur Brel, because I know Brel is important to you, which we'll come to as well.
Yes.
What do you do in your shows?
I know that most of the time when people do something on, let's say, Brel.
Yeah, yeah.
Very often they put the emphasis on the story about the man, his history and so on. I don't really feel that way about people like that, philosophers, singers, songwriters. I would rather know what they were about, what they said. So, for instance, in the case of Brel, I would rather quote from some of his writings, whether it be from a song or from an interview or so, where he says how he sees things, and then get to the song and hopefully with the piece of text that I've used cast some light on what is he singing in the song.
You mentioned the word philosopher. Do you think of Jacques Brel as a philosopher first
no
and
doubt.
Foremost?
No.
Well, no, because he's a singer, isn't he? Musician.
Yes, he's a singer-songwriter, he was, and but certainly giving things more thought than I pick up with lots of other songwriters.
Yeah. So would your show then consist, in that case, the show about Brel, would consist of you telling stories
reciting
about
or and reading
and then the music
some text
as well,
and then get to a song?
Okay.
Yes, yes. The same with Quest du Plessis. You can say more or less the same about him. He was, some people call him the Cohen of Afrikaans music.
Really?
Or the Dylan. And yes.
Yeah, what a compliment to him.
Yes, it's a compliment, but also well-deserved, no doubt mm-hmm. about that. There's such a lot of depth in what he wrote. In his case, I know all these things by heart. Very often they're from a song, and I just quote the song and then sing what could be linked to that song, but another song.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you are you then able to change your voice to suit these very different people? Like Jacques Brel has a unique sound, really.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just sing. I just sing.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
Perhaps when I sing a particular song, the text or the music or something would push me in the direction of singing in a certain way. People have told me that when I sing, they say, wow, when you sing English, you sound so different.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, could be, but I don't know why, but I accept that it may be true.
Is most of your stuff, 90% of your stuff, in Afrikaans?
I have written hardly anything in another language. I've written a Latin song when I was still studying Latin at university, and I had a lovely lady by the name of Stella, which means star. So Optima de Stella in Kylie's Canto, I sing about the most beautiful star in heaven. But no, that was the only... And of course, in the beginning of my career, because the English language is so well... Rodney, I'm going to have to find the word, like you do with clay, where you...
Molded,
like music. It becomes such cliche-like writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I soon realized that, because people said to me, wow, this is fantastic. I said, yes, I think it's quite a nice song. Thought about it myself and realized I think I would have been able to do it better in Afrikaans, because it comes more directly from the heart. And I think my English has always been quite good, but there is the difference, hey?
Yeah, but it is interesting you say that, because classical singers, and I know which we'll talk about, your love of things like Lieder, German and Dutch Lieder and so on, yeah. English is always fantastically difficult to sing. German, French, Italian are easy to sing in the classical genre, aren't they? So it's interesting that you agree English is not easy to sing.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all.
Okay.
It's just that I'm talking about songwriting.
Right, okay.
If I say that when I write in English, I don't think it's quite as honest as it would have been if I wrote exactly the same song in English.
My goodness, that is interesting, actually. Mm.
I quoted on stage very often Benjamin Britten.
Yes.
Who said that English is such a terrible language for vocalizing. He says that it's...
That's what I was sort of getting to just now.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But he then says exactly what you said now. But I think why we say that is that if we sing something, let's say, I'm talking about the neighbor's dad. Now, it's cool if he says that. But if my own dad says it, I feel like I should sink into the ground because my dad is uncool. And that's how we feel about our own language often. And I feel about Afrikaans, I used to feel like that a little bit.
That it's not cool.
We know that it's not cool. But it's because it's so close to us that we perceive it as uncool.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm not Afrikaans and I battle to speak Afrikaans, although we learned it at school.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Afrikaans authors and poets that I've interviewed, and Afrikaans is an incredibly beautiful and expressive language when it comes to songs and especially poetry. I presume you would agree with that.
I have to agree with that.
agree
with that, Rodney, but it's something that's close to me that I feel difficult to approach as easily.
Yes.
As that which is a little bit further away.
Yeah. As objectively, perhaps.
Yes.
It's so personal.
I think that is the problem.
Yeah. Well, let's rest a while, Jannie, and listen to your first piece of music. And I see you've chosen Queen.
Yes.
And one of their biggest hits, actually.
Right.
Tell me about it and why you've chosen it.
Yes. I've chosen it because I'm sitting here at a radio station which has a lot of classical music in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've realized forever that although I didn't go very far with classical music, I did love what I learned a lot, but I somehow ended up making more folk, cabaret, and pop and rock music, especially early in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting with my friend Andy Lubber, who started the Innie Bos Arts Festival in Nelspruit. And it was 1975. We played in a rock band together, but we also started our own Afrikaans folk group, Trilogie. We're working on a song, and he said to me, listen, just first listen to this. And he pulled out this album.
Wow.
And he played the song, which became, of course, so famous. But Andy could sing those top notes with Freddie Mercury all the way. I couldn't believe what I heard. But, of course, in the first place, this unbelievable arrangement of music, which comes from you can hear all the classical influences, but it was a rock hit. Second to none.
Let's listen to Bohemian Rhapsody in the original Queen version.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows doesn't really matter.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
Yeah.
Well, that really is a classic. I mean, I think everyone was startled, Yanni, when they heard that the first time, because there's so many parts of that song, yes, Bohemian Rhapsody, yes, and so many different styles.
Indeed.
And Freddie Mercury carries the thread right through, no matter what the style.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it for ages, so that's very interesting.
At that time, we were perhaps 4 years into Trilogie, our Afrikaans folk group, even 3 years, and we were smitten by the harmonies of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and so on. So the kind of music that we wrote and that we performed was based on strong harmonies. So when now, here comes harmony. Proper.
Yes, as you said earlier, yes, clearly a classical trained background,
yes,
to produce those harmonies. Also, the technical thing is brilliantly edited, that song, to
yes,
make it as sound as it does.
Yeah, yeah.
My guest is Yanni du Toit, as I said, an icon, an institution in Afrikaans music. But I just want to go back, because there's so much I want to talk to you about. I see that you studied law, and you actually practiced law for a short while. And
for a very short while.
This is not for me. I'm going back
to
music.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, I didn't finish my music studies at school. I decided to give it up in standard 8.
Oh, did
you? And got myself a guitar.
Naughty.
So if I finished, I might have been able to go study music.
Yeah.
But today I'm very grateful that I did not, because perhaps I would have gone on to try to play the piano better and end up there. I then suddenly went for the guitar, listening more closely to the chords and the music that was popular at the time, especially the folk music, but the Beatles and the Stones and so on, the chordal progressions and so on. I loved it from the beginning. And so not finishing the high school with music took me in the direction of writing songs, which I'm so grateful now for.
But when did you first discover that you had a musical ear or that you wanted to make music your life?
I think I was a small boy. I just didn't see how it could happen, you know, especially when stopping with a piano. I don't, well, no, no. Just praying for an opportunity, and the dear Lord sent it amply to me at a later stage.
It sounds like it, and has continued through your life.
Yes, it has.
But then, what was your first? You mentioned Trilogie, your group, a very early group.
Okay, we were playing first in a university group, a sort of pop rock band.
Yeah.
And we renamed it as Hilton. It had another name as a university group at RAU.
Oh my!
So Hilton, we were.
Yeah.
And then from that came singing some folk together, and then trying to write our own Afrikaans stuff. I wrote my first song in Afrikaans that I am not ashamed of in 1973. It was a setting to music that I learned in Standard 2 by Achie Visser called Rosa Rosarum, Rose of the Roses. And from that point, I sort of felt, okay, now I feel better. The text is good, I know. I didn't write it. And slowly getting into writing my own text as well.
Mm-hmm. I was talking quite recently on this program to a man who runs a school for songwriting, words mostly, and that's Clive Ridgway, whom you may or may not know. And it was fascinating what he said. Writing the words is such an art in itself, let alone putting the music to it.
Yes. Yeah. It is an acquired thing
through
practice.
Skill.
Absolutely.
So that, with Trilogie and all that, that set you on the road to becoming a full-time professional musician.
Yes, indeed. We were on the first test broadcasts of SATV in the second half of 75. We got an honorary mention prize, the American Song Festival.
That's
of
right.
76.
Yes.
And you know, that it's
prestigious.
An idea of, listen, there is a possibility that more people would be interested in this kind of thing, because that kind of thing certainly in Afrikaans was not popular at the time.
That's interesting. Interesting. What was popular? Was it more sort of pop, dare I say?
Three chord.
Oh, so very chord, simple, a little bit boring.
You'd be admonished by the record company if you come with more than that. They'd say, no, listen, like they said to Christa, lots of my friends, but also to Trilogie. No, this is literally, the guy referred to it as medieval, because it had strong harmonies, and it couldn't quite understand it, I think.
That's so interesting. That's something I didn't know. You mentioned Krista a few times, Krista Stein, who, as we know, died tragically of cancer, didn't she? But you spent 25 years as a long time for a collaboration.
It is.
You obviously got on very well.
Extremely well, yeah. She was absolutely wonderful, wonderful friends. We traveled, you can imagine, we were together in some 25 countries of which we performed in 20.
Wow.
Through the 25 years of collaboration.
But you were taunting me slightly earlier when we were listening to Bohemian Rhapsody about a story you always used to tell when you were on stage with Krista.
Yeah, it's back to that topic of we laugh at lyrics by, well, I shouldn't say, but the Brills, for instance. You know, it's trite that people would think, oh my word, listen to this Afrikaans. And then I would always say, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Four hungry children and a crop on the fields. If an Afrikaans song was written with those words, we'd say, oh no, this is typical of Afrikaans. It was not at all.
Yeah.
It's just, well, it's a country song, and that's the kind of lyrics that one would...
It's very basic, down to earth, and feeling
so
is to
I'd
the
say
fore.
It's just because of that story of mine. This is my dad. I feel a bit...
Cringe is the word you discovered.
Yes, indeed. And the words that that Benjamin Britten said.
So that's, you also included that then in your show with
in that Krista. Show. Yeah, because it was a story about Afrikaans music, which I called Luister na die Liedjies.
But that's one of your shows, isn't it? The name of one of your shows.
It has been long, long ago, and I've used it from time to time again. Because it's lovely to tell the story from where it started in as real folk, proper traditional folk, up to the point, at the point when I first did it, was towards the end of the 70s, when the musique en lyrique movement was rife and everybody knew about it, and it made a difference in Afrikaans music. So it was nice to say, and the youngest is Quest du Plessis, and it's Cunny de Villiers, and it is Clarabel van Niekerk and those people. So I included that in a program at very early 80s.
But that must have been rather special, because then it's something new in Afrikaans music that people must have clicked into and thought, gosh, we've got it, we can do it.
Indeed, it made such a difference to the view that people have of Afrikaans and of Afrikaans music.
Let's have another piece of music, Yanni. Yanni du Toit is my guest.
Oh,
Leonard
yes.
Bernstein.
Wow, yes. We had the opportunity, Krista and myself, to go to Canada, where she would, in a school hall it was, but introduce a new grand piano, and she had to play some lovely music on it. And they asked me to sing this piece by Bernstein. I had to go for the first time in my life. That was 2005. I was 64 years old. No, nonsense. 54 years old.
Be careful.
54 years old. And for the first time in my life, I said, listen, I'm going to have to sing this in Canada. I can't just go there and do it. So I went to a trainer, to a lady who does lovely vocal coaching. I stayed with her for 15 years of vocal coaching.
Wow.
But that was the first. And she helped me to be able to sing the song. So in the end, we played it there, but also I recorded it. And Krista did a very special arrangement.
Is that what we're going to hear?
For my recording, yes.
This is you. This is your song.
This is me.
My guest singing.
after some lessons.
Okay.
Gloria patria, gloria patria, gloria patria.
Well, there we heard the voice of my guest here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio this week, Yanni Du Toit. That, Yanni, was originally music by Bernstein, wasn't
correct,
it?
Correct, yes.
That you sang along.
Yeah, and that's what I had to go and sing in Canada. And that's why I went for vocal training for the first time in my life.
But before that, you had sung a lot, hadn't you?
I have sung a lot, and I think I learned
without some training, without yeah, sort of real training.
I think I learned some very good manners in a good classical a cappella choir. In Ad Libitum in Pretoria. Good manners, I think. And somehow I sang naturally from the beginning of my life. Even my first songs, I listened to some of it. And I think, well, I didn't have any training at the time. Not bad.
And that don't sound too bad. Have you kept, I hope, all your archives of early stuff that you did?
I have a heck of a lot of recordings.
Maybe even the very first thing you recorded.
Indeed. Indeed, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was lucky enough that these things were recorded, especially with Trilogie and at the radio studios and then later television by 75. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do have quite a...
But, Yanni, you mentioned choral music just now, but I was intrigued that you were appointed by a choral composer, by Professor Chris Lamprecht.
Yes.
Yeah. At the University of Pretoria.
Yes.
So that sounds as though you trained choirs.
I wrote for multi-voice choirs. Or then rather for ensembles, I should say, because it was aimed at recording in a studio for an album or something.
Right.
I've done that. Specifically, Dona Nobis Pacem, but it's a very specific version of it written by a friend of mine, died long ago, Robert Long, is a Dutch composer. And he included the medieval hymn into a lovely song that he wrote. And I liked it so much. I sang it with Lorica in a cabaret. Yes, in 1988. I loved it so much that when I got to the next album, I did this arrangement. As I started writing when later Professor Lamprecht, I was working for him, and he would oversee my arrangements and so on. I believe that what he did there was such an input into my life. I don't know if I would ever be able to write down unless I was then there. I wrote musicals. I decided that I want full-on harmony, sometimes six-part harmony. I want strings to play. I want a flute to play. So I had to write it down.
And did you do the orchestration?
I did the orchestration, time. Yeah.
Goodness me.
I'm not good with it now at all.
Don't be silly. Yanni, there's this. You mentioned cabaret, and that has played a big part in your life, hasn't you?
Yes.
So I want to find out, I mean, with Brel, you think of cabaret, but also you were influenced by the European chanson, and even things like... Lieder, in a sense, art songs.
I've always preferred art song to almost any other form of classical music. It's just those, I think, words and music. I'm a language fan, perhaps even more than I'm a music fan.
No.
I've always thought, yeah.
Good
really.
For you.
And let's say I know that my gift for language is better than my gift for music, and I have a considerable gift for music as well. But to marry those two things.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, light music composers, authors of light music, don't often understand that there's a century-long heritage of thought and of study on how do you marry those things. And I wish...
More than a century, I think, if you go back to...
Oh, far. Centuries.
Yes, centuries.
I meant to say.
If you go back to the Renaissance where monks were singing...
Exactly. It's an age-old tradition. It's
absolutely.
An age-old study, and we can use it. I've really spoken to quite a lot of people about the possibility of having something here. In Amsterdam, there is a Klein Kunst Academie. You may say a cabaret text-like, you know, text cabaret. Some cabaret is so wide. But when we're talking about text music, and to get the text and the music together, the Dutch call that kleinkunst. It's not that big art. It's something small, something
intimate
and so on. And to study that, I think we need that in South Africa.
That's interesting. Let's hope some university people are listening.
I do hope so.
But what attracted you to the Dutch?
Oh, my word. It's so close to Afrikaans.
Yeah.
The whole Musiek en Lyriek thing of 78, 79, Henny Okamp and Stefan Boer, and those guys, alerted us to that tradition in the Netherlands, which is very closely linked to the French chanson and the Liedermacher. That's not the classical Lieder, but the Liedermacher of the Germans. And I went to Amsterdam with a choir, with Ad Libitum, and I said to a guy there in a record shop, play me some kleinkunst. He had no idea what I was talking about, because the whole idea of the Luisterliedje had already been passé by that time. It was like early 60s things that they had lovely, lovely people that wrote lovely stuff in that vein. But then he played Herman van Veen. And I said, yes, sir, this is exactly what I mean. So I was literally converted at that point in that record shop. And then I listened to the music of Schulde Korte, who is my hero. He's by far, for me, a better songwriter than Jacques Brel.
That's
and I'm a Brel fan.
Right, right. Just tell me a little bit about him. Who is he?
Oh, he was a blind man who wrote his big hit in 1948. Ik zou willis willen weten. Oh, lovely. He was an excellent pianist. He was, on the one hand, he was part of the prestigious Maatschappij der Nederlandse Letteren. That means literature on its highest level, handpicked, but also viewed by the Dutch music world as the Schubert of the Dutch music. Dutch music, yes.
Say his name again.
Jules, that is now, in English we would say Jules, but it's a French, comes from France, and the typical of the Dutch, they say Jules.
Jules,
yeah, the Korte. D-E-C-O-R-T-E. He wrote some 3,000 songs in his life, and the most, I told you how much I loved chords, and if you want to hear chords on the piano, accompanying lovely music, lyric-wise, melody-wise, chordal progressions, everything, Schulde Korte is the man.
I'm going to have to investigate.
I have to,
shall I? Jannie, what's your next piece of music?
Oh, my dear friend Karin Oughart.
Oh, right, okay.
Song written by Lisa Stassen, a lady from this area. I think she lives in Pretoria now, but somewhere in the mid-90s, I think I first heard her singing, and I couldn't believe that somebody could sing like that and write like that in Afrikaans, Lisa Stassen. And at a certain point, Karin Oughart did this lovely version of her song, Skolly Klong. Does it sound Cape?
It does a bit, yes.
Hier bij mij, mijn skolly klong, voel mij toe.
Song has a strange name, Skolly Klong. And it sounded like a love.
It was a love song.
Romantic.
She loves her Skolly Klong.
Yanni Dutoy is my guest. I think he is daring me to speak Afrikaans and switch. Yanni, we spoke about your interest in cabaret and all that, but why Jacques Brel? What attracted you? I know he is special. We mentioned him being a philosopher and all that.
Yes.
What was it that attracted you to him?
Wow.
And did Toby Kushlik have anything to do with it?
Oh, of course. We all saw Brel is alive and well and living in Paris.
That's right.
What is that area? Hillbrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Hillbrow.
But so, of course, one would have heard those songs at the time. There was Marika. I started singing Madeleine in 1989 for the first time, and I've sung it 1,000 times with Christa at the piano, later with other accompanists. So it's just that each and every song has something very special that he has a very close look at, I believe. And it's like a little fable that he builds in a song like Madeleine, where this guy stands with his bunch of roses or flowers waiting for this girl, and she does not arrive. But he throws the flowers away. But tomorrow evening, he stands there with these flowers again, waiting, and that's kind of little
a poignancy as well. Poignancy.
Absolutely, in his texts. That's what I love so much.
One of the things, now you must tell me if I'm wrong, that has occurred to me about Afrikaans folk music is very often it is sad. There's an element of poignancy and sadness about a lot of Afrikaans folk music, rather like the fado, the Portuguese fado song.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, I think so, yes. Now you're talking about... No, you're not. You're certainly not. You're talking about traditional folk music.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Alle die Berge noch so blau. And
nostalgia.
Farwel, my eie soete lief, moet ver, ver hier vandaan. There's a sadness in it, but a poignant.
David Cramer is in town with his show Orpheus McAdoo.
Oh, yes.
And I was talking to him the other day, just casually, and he told me a couple of things I really didn't know, like Sorry Marais, which I associate so much with Afrikaans folk music, was American. The tune was American, I think. We added our own words to it.
That's quite right, yes.
The Alabama.
The Alabama. That was started here.
By
the guys standing looking at the sea and the ship.
Yeah.
But there might even be a predecessor of Sari Mare in Irish. At some stage I heard, but I cannot vouch for that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that David would have his story correct.
His facts, yes. It's fascinating to talk to him about that.
Oh, he's
okay. About Afrikaans folk music. And here's a curious question. Your style of singing and music, is it popular? I know you're hugely popular. I called you an institution just now.
Institutions are not always popular, my friend.
That is very true. Do young people come and listen to you as well as middle-aged and elderly?
So glad to say yes. I had to work extremely hard on it. I've been working on my guitar playing extremely hard. I play the guitar 10 times better than I did as a 25-year-old. I really play the guitar well now. I love chords. Again, I use a lot of chords in songs, which people don't really expect.
Yeah.
So when youngsters see it, they say, okay, die oomie, gooi nogal, eh? But yes, I'm really glad to say that more youngsters listen to my music now.
One thing that has intrigued me, because you've said it a few times in this little chat we're having, is harmonies, how important harmonies are and the chords you use. And they are the same as in the classical world, the wonderful chromaticism that can be used.
Yeah.
And do you pick it up quite easily in your music? Would I pick it up quite easily?
I think you would.
Okay.
Yes, I think you would. I could. No, I'll give you one or two examples.
Well, let's have another piece of music, Yanni, before we run out of time. And I see you've got Andrew Lloyd Webber's Pia Jesu lined up.
Indeed.
What is it? Well, it's beautiful, but why have you selected it?
It's just such a beautiful piece. And Christa and myself did it in a church in Johannesburg in that year. It was 2007, I think. And I said to her, is it only ultra sopranos that can sing this song? Why can't a baritone sing it? She said, we just do an arrangement for you, which she did. And we then, after we've done it in a few places, decided, this must be recorded. She wrote this wonderful, wonderful arrangement.
And that's what we're going to hear now, you
that's
singing
right.
Your
and
baritone.
With me, my friends Kuni de Villiers and Chris Chameleon sing parts as well, with an ad hoc choir at the time in Pretoria.
A starry lineup indeed. Let's listen. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Pia Jesu there, given special treatment by Christa Steyn and Yanni du Toit. Yanni is my guest, with quite, as I said, a starry lineup. Quinny de Villiers.
Quinny and Chris.
Chris Chameleon.
Yeah.
You know what? I said we were running out of time. I said earlier that you're going to be in Cape Town in December. What will you be doing?
That is the plan.
Tell us why we should come and see you.
Okay, yes, please. I've been doing December tours, like up and down the Cape Coast for roughly 30 years with Christa in the old days, and now with a wonderful setup. I've got lovely cellist, the very well-known Susan Mouton, tours
yes.
with me.
And I know her well from the orchestra in Johannesburg.
You would, of course, yes. And Charney Jonker, a pianist. We're doing a program that I call Doop Is Nie Do It Nie. And we're doing it particularly on this tour because Koos du Plessis died 40 years ago, leaving an unbelievable legacy of music. So people can just have a look at my website, www.jannydetouet.com, and find all information. We start in Bloem, and we go down the Karoo, come around to the Western Cape and up to the east, to the, not quite the, yeah, PE is Eastern Cape.
It is indeed.
From roughly the 8th till the 22nd of December is this tour, and focus here around the 10th to the 18th, perhaps we will be all over your listenership.
Okay, here in Cape Town.
In Cape Town, amongst others, yes.
It's quite a major tour that to go
it
all
is,
around.
It is.
During the holiday season as well.
Yes.
Which could be a good thing.
It is a good thing. That's why we always plan it like that.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned to me, Jannie, that you've got plans for next year as well, in January and February.
I think I should tell you about two things. Yes.
Yes.
A Kunstefeest and die Kleine.
Okay.
In the Atterbury Theatre in Pretoria. I start with that. Four shows that I've never done at the Atterbury Theatre before, with the emphasis on a brand new one. I have been singing Dutch songs on stage, one by Herman van Veen in 1984. 40 years later, I do De Wals van de Liefde, which is my selection of some 18 songs, probably my favorites of those that I've recorded or sung on stage over a period of 40 years. Some of them with Lorica, some with a blind Dutch accompanist by the name of Bert van den Brink, the Jules de Korte songs, and of course a Brel or two. And then we come to the Trostei Theatre as well, the first weekend of February, and with Kunstefeest en die Kleine again, shows that we have not had at the Drostey Theatre before. Just one more thing that I want to say.
Yes.
I wrote a musical just after I started working for Professor Lamprecht, and that was based on the first science fiction, but actually the first space fiction in Afrikaans. Langenhoven wrote Lulurai in 1923. A visitor from Venus who comes to have a look at this Earth. How is it looking? Are people really living the love that I've learned about long, long time ago? And how is it with environmental things? Lulurai tells Langenhoven, you guys here must look out. Coal and oil will not last forever. On Venus, we use the unbelievable strength of the sun's power. So he hints at solar power. And I'm bringing the musical back in September. Can't wait. This has been a dream. Professor Anna Nietling-Poole prompted me into writing it. She joined me on it, worked on the stage text, and she was also the director. And can't wait to have Lulurai back on stage.
And it's going to be here in Cape Town in September.
It's in Gauteng. But we hope and pray that it will later come here as well.
Yes.
You must first just establish it there. A rather pricey thing to do is to get a musical on stage.
I'm sure it is. Well, you better get it ready, Jannie, and bring it down.
Can't wait to have it here as well.
I'm intrigued by this next piece of music that you've asked us to share with you. It's the Cliff Richard, which is perhaps unexpected, but
yes.
It's a beautiful song.
But I think your listenership will know very well about the song, the lovely string arrangement on it. It was 76, if I remember correctly. And there were two. It was him, and then there was another very popular singer that came out with a song. I'm not going to tell you who or what it was. But I was intrigued by the fact that Cliff Richard chose to do such a classy number. It was just as big a hit as the other one, but that guy chose for the obvious popular one, the commercial one.
Yeah.
But he chose for class.
Turn water into wine, but that didn't last. We were the victims of our rage. Now we live on different floors and go our separate ways and talk behind closed doors. We changed our world, waiting for it all to end. such a shame. But who's to blame when two worlds drift apart? We used to sit around the fire, whisper words the world outside would make no claim to hear. But now we talk an octave higher, in droning tones that don't relate at all to yesteryear. We changed our world, waiting for it all to end. When two worlds drift apart. Do you remember we were 17? We took a boat out for an hour, but we preferred the greenery to the scenery of the sea. And tied up in some cozy cove, harbor lights appeared across the bay. Remember,
remember.
Into love and out of mind, a poet claimed that loving you has only made me blind. Love is really crystal clear. It's only when you need someone the clouds will soon appear. We changed our world, waiting for it all to end. It's such a shame, but who's to blame when two worlds drift apart? Do you remember? Laughter was the cure for all the hard times that we knew. But we forgot to feed the fire, let it all burn down. Warmth returns to cold and poison into pain. It's such a shame, but who's to blame when two worlds drift apart?
Remember.
Cliff Richard, I think that might have been his first appearance on People of Note, Yannick.
Wow, but what an appearance.
What an appearance, indeed. And what a song.
And what a song, really.
Okay, now, I was going to say goodbye to you, but you're bullying me into taking just one more piece because it's important to you, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I've been talking about harmonies and about vocal music, and then, of course, choral music is one of my real favorites. But for me, you've got to listen live. You've got to be there. But Akama Fuchs... choir at the time, singing this wonderful song about the return of spring, has always really touched my heart.
Well, that's a lovely way to stop, so we'll allow you to put it in.
Thank
Yanni.
You.
Thank you, Yanni. It's been great talking to you. Yanni du Toit is my guest, and his website address is www.yannidutoit.com.
Correct, yes.
And you can find out all about these shows that are coming through. Yanni, thank you.
Thank you so much, Rodney. I'm honored.
Le canal se qui a donge, et se lave et foie des ballons. ella prigi di fuge sogo, retravasse l'ere sogo.
Rebessi venir di frato l'amorese bella sesa,
le sonnere che le beso in le pisere perti, di linage l'ombre stasi, che si giovi cuore nuasi, e forese chance cuto. La bella in mare vadi, e la breve cuore sempre,
reversive mil di prato, l'amorese bella sesa,
de venisse fissi pito, l'universo morte sedere,
de sa flamme vore sciove, animo che vole tala, animo che rampe tosso, animo che nage coso. Se ti merma mande son vas amorese folle plesi, redesi de mil di prato l'amorese bella sesa, rinunso si nuve scesa, le si vante su di prato, tutte chose ride plesi, se le crolla che è seso, redesi de mil di prato l'amorese bella sesa, reversi de mil di prato, l'amorese bella sesa.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
FMR 101.3 FM.